All right, thank you. We just got a little notice here on our conference call. We want to remind everyone, this is Sister Pam Sanders. What a woman of faith. She has shared some great things with us on the previous devotions, and we are looking forward to some great devotions this morning. Sister Sanders.
Good morning, everyone. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. He is great and greatly to be praised. He is in control of all things. We've heard some very sad news already this morning. Touches my heart. But we know that God does all things well, and we trust him completely. We want to thank God that he's given us another day of life, of health, of strength. We thank God for leadership. We thank God for Pastor and Sister Clark, for the great work that they are doing in the city of Ontario. We thank God for their labor of love. They work tirelessly. And also the leadership all surrounding us. And I just thank God for this opportunity to speak to you. And this morning, we're going to speak on the topic, fully equipped, putting our power tools to work. So God has given us many power tools: prayer, the word of God, fasting, witnessing, the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the blood of Jesus, fellowship and church attendance, praise and worship, the altar and sacrifice, surrender and obedience, the fruit and gifts of the Spirit, tithing and giving, just to name a few. This is our arsenal. And the Bible lets us know, of course, in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And it goes on to say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The power tool that we are focusing on today is the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. The B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. So the Bible is intriguing. It offers drama, mystery, adventure, romance, comedy. There's typology, parables, and allegories in the Bible. It speaks about conspiracy. There's beautiful poetry, prophecy, inspiration. It displays the entire gamut of human emotion and human character. It gives direction, consolation, admonition, guidance, and provides the only roadmap to salvation. It introduces us to the one and only true and living God. What's his name? That's right, Jesus, who is the predominant subject of the entire Bible. It reveals to us God's will, his mind, his volition, his nature, and it draws us into a place of intimacy with God. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 16 and 17, it states that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture, the Bible emphasizes, it's the totality of the word of God. The scripture is often described to us as food. There's pictures of the word being bread, milk, meat, honey, and it provides nourishment to our soul. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it states, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. In Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14, it reads, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So all scripture, God told Ezekiel to eat the whole roll. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel." So Ezekiel says, "I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said it was in my belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee." And he said, "I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." Now, John the Apostle, he tells us that he encountered the angel in Revelation 10, verses 9 and 10. "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." Why was it bitter? Because in Ezekiel 2 and 8, Ezekiel was told to speak to a rebellious people. And Ezekiel says that he was given a roll, and in the roll, within and without, was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. God has a sweet nature. He has a loving nature. We're in the dispensation of grace. God is merciful. But God also has a side of wrath, and he is going to display that wrath unleashed during the days of tribulation. So today is the day of salvation. The psalmist tells us that the word of God is sweet. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." And then he continues to say in Psalm 119, 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Job tells us, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts." Psalms 81 and 16 reads, "He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." It's like sucking honey out of a rock when we get into the word of God. Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And Jesus continues to say, "It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." We receive so much out of the word of God. The Bible lets us know that the word of God is our inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration comes from a Greek word, which means God breathed. The first part of the word emphasizes God, and the second part of the Greek word emphasizes to breathe or to blow. So inspiration is found in God's word. He breathes upon it. Webster defines inspiration as the act of drawing air into the lungs, the inhaling of air, a branch of respiration, the act of breathing into anything, the infusion of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit, or the communication of the divine will to the understanding by suggestions or impressions on the mind, which leave no room to doubt the reality of their supernatural origin. God inspires us through his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable meaning helpful, it's useful, it's advantageous, it's yielding or bringing profit or gain. It's gainful and it's lucrative. We gain so much out of the Word of God. We should love the Word of God and read it every day. Read your Bible and pray every day, we tell the toddlers, and you will grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible, don't pray every day, and you will shrink, shrink, shrink. God wants us to fall in love with his word. In Psalms 119, verses 97 through 99, the psalmist declares, "Oh, how love I thy law." Do you feel like that today? "It is my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." He goes on to say, "I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me." In Psalms 119:11, he declares, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Jesus tells us to search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Isaiah 34:16, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, no one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them." In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, "The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." In the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it tells us, "Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my doors." When we appeal to God, when we begin to seek him, when we begin to search out God, he's going to bless us, saints. He's going to open up our understanding. He's going to help us. He's going to counsel us. He's going to guide us and direct us. He's going to carry us through every trial and every tribulation. In Proverbs 6:23, it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs and instruction are the way of life." In Colossians 3:16, we're told, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is authoritative teaching, the thing taught, instruction, and we need doctrine. "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." In Titus 2:1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Healthy teaching, healthy instruction. Amen. And it is also profitable for reproof. What is reproof? It is conviction, a proof, convincing us of our error. And it's profitable for correction. What is correction? To set right again, to make straight, setting up straight again. It places us in a correct moral posture. and it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Instruction means the instruction of children, and it also evolved to mean chastening, correction. The Word of God provides training, discipline, chastisement in righteousness. And we know righteousness is God's standard. It is uprightness. It is holiness. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 20, it reads, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates." When we do this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Perfect meaning complete, sufficient, completely qualified. All the parts are complete or whole and what they are supposed to be, so that they might serve their destined purpose. We have a destiny and we have a purpose. It goes on to say that we might be throughly furnished unto all good work. Throughly furnished is to put in an appropriate condition, to complete entirely, to furnish or fit completely. Paul states that the inspired scripture can make the man of God competent, proficient, adept, or capable, to equip, outfit, and furnish. That the man of God may be competent because he has been equipped, outfitted, and furnished. God's word is that which gives one necessary skills and tools to be capable in performing every good work. So we have a power tool. That power tool, one of them is the Word of God. It's our sword. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about it being the sword of the Spirit. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about it being quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts coming and going. And my former pastor used to tell us, it'll cut the mess out of you. So we thank God for his holy word. It's a discerner of what's going on the inside of us. And it admonishes us. It teaches us. It leads us. It guides us. It consoles us. It counsels us. It's wonderful. I love the word. The word of God will make you pray. When I read the word of God, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm thinking, uh-oh. I need to come up to this. I need to come up to this. And it will make us pray. I love the word. And I thank you for allowing me to share this with you today. I was a little bit nervous, but I'm so thankful for all of you. And I love you and have a great day in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Sanders. Thank you, Sister Sanders Church. I believe we just heard a Sunday school lesson, a Bible study, a sermon, and a devotion all in one. What a clear and powerful message we heard in this devotion this morning. Thank you again. Thank you, Sister Sanders. And church, make sure that you meditate on what you heard all the day, like Sister Sanders said it. Praise God. What a wonderful devotion. We even heard Sister Sanders sing a song, a Sunday school song that we should all be singing. Praise God. You know what, church, right now with what we're feeling, why don't we just thank God one more time. We're going to praise God for this great devotion that Sister Sanders gave us, and we're going to continue to pray for all the names that we've mentioned. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for the great word that we heard from Sister Sanders this morning. Help us, Lord God, to put it deep in our mind, deep in our spirit, so that we're thinking about it, meditating upon it, praying upon it all the day long, Lord Jesus. Your word is sweeter than honey, yea, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. We're going to continue to pray for all of these names that we've mentioned, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. And everyone said, amen. Church, remember, tonight we are having church. Prayer will be at 7 p.m. and service at 7:30 p.m. God bless you, and we will see you on tonight's call. Praise God.